Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be with you today. It's good to be with you with Jason today. This is just a lot of fun. And, you know, it also kind of just helps, if you know what I mean, during the summer months, people are on vacations, worship team and worship leaders are on vacation. And Jason's also here just filling in a pinch as well. But what a great opportunity to partner together in ministry. And this ministry, which is huge, it's all over the nation. It's right here. It's right here in Twin Falls. And so to not plug into that just wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. But it's been a great summer. I've really enjoyed our summer with you together. And for families, it's been what we've been calling Family Ministry Month. And with that, you know, just if you're new to this, if you don't know all the things that are going on, what we've been talking about, a couple of things here is first, we've been revamping. We've been just sort of remaking our children's ministry program. We're going to be putting some more resources into that. We've got some people who have said, you know what, we're going to step up and we're going to be a part of that, these children every week. And so we have Danelle and Chloe that we're just bringing on, you know, just part-time staff, but you know, we're just saying, you know, we're going to bless you. We're going to ask you to just step up and really give to the Lord and love these kids and love these children and teach them God's word. And so, you know, I'm excited about that because God's been placing that calling upon their hearts and in their lives as they've just been growing in the Lord. And so it's wonderful to see those two mature. And then, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had kids camp and that was a lot of fun. And we were with the counselors from Camp Perkins. And also we've introduced to you with Seeds Family Worship, the Seeds Family Worship Box. And we're going to be talking more about what that means. But that means as a ministry, we want to equip you. We want to resource you with some good material for the home, for devotions, for teaching your family, your children God's word, and for just being able to connect at home with faith and with fun. And last but not least, coming up, you know, later this summer is an opportunity to get away as a church and have family camp, to go up to Camp Perkins and go to family camp. And so it's been a wonderful, wonderful summer. And if you're wondering why we would dedicate an entire month to families and children, well, the answer is actually quite simple, and you just heard it a few moments ago from God's word. And the answer is this. It comes from Jesus himself when Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, right? I think that's the first lesson that we just got to take home today. Lesson number one is this, that the kingdom of God belongs to children. And Jim, I think I got a slide for that there. The kingdom of God belongs to children. And so certainly Jesus was talking about, when he was talking about faith, he was talking about characteristics of a child, but he was also talking about children. He wasn't using them as an example of what faith looks like, what the qualities and the characteristics of faith look like, and yet excluding them. That would make no sense whatsoever. The kingdom of heaven belongs to children. And we have to embrace that. That needs to be part of our heart as a church, part of our ministry philosophy to embrace children, to recognize there's a place for children in worship, a place for children in this ministry that you know, they're not just to be set aside so, you know, in case they're noisy or disruptive. None whatsoever. We need to embrace children. I would rather have a child crying in church, right? And we've been there, right? We've all been there, than no children at all in church. Amen? We have to have a heart for kids because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Jesus didn't just come for adults, and he certainly didn't come for the most prominent or prestigious, the wealthy or wise. Jesus came for our children too. And so this is about the children. This is about the qualities and the characteristics and the nature of what makes children special, of what makes children look to us for all that they need, for support, for life, and all those things apply to us as adults as we look to Jesus for those things, for our life and for our salvation. And so children, you know, what's wonderful about children is children, they bring nothing. They bring nothing to the equation, right? Right? You invite a child to a potluck. Well, they're not going to show up with the casserole, right? Children come with empty hands. Children come with nothing to bring. And unless you're just a Scrooge, when you see those empty hands, you love them all the more. You want to give to those empty hands. You want to put food. You want to put life. You want to put salvation into those hands. And so that's what this is all about. Children bring nothing of importance, no accomplishments, no depth of understanding, no standing or influence in society. They're not great theologians with, you know, their names on books or commentaries. And yet, Jesus receives them. He receives them fully and completely. And furthermore, Jesus would rebuke anyone who would do otherwise, right? And so children, we have to hear this. Children matter to Jesus. And that means they matter to this ministry. And that's why this whole month, but not just this whole month, that's why there's a place for children in this ministry. And so it's very important that we would not only understand that, but also celebrate this, again, like I said, in such a way that it affects our understanding of grace, of faith, that it affects our philosophy of ministry. I don't know if you're familiar with, I've talked about this guy by the name of George Barna, and Barna, he does all these studies across the nation, and he looks about the trends among Christianity and what's going on. A lot of his studies have to do with faith development, with families and their role in faith development, with children and how children grow up in the faith. And as he's taken polls, and granted, you know, sometimes polls are just polls. You can have 100% of people with an opinion. It can still be the wrong opinion, right? It can still be wrong. But he's just sort of getting a barometer of where people are at. And so as he's asking Christians around the nation, you know, about the spiritual development of the children and asking whose primary responsibility is the faith development of children, here's his results. He says that 99% of people believe it is the parents. It is the family's responsibility. It's the primary responsibility of mom and dad to teach children their faith. Now, what do you think, church? Do you think the 99% got it right or got it wrong? Raise your hand if you think they got it right. Yeah, they did get it right. Good job. They got it right, you know. That's what God's Word teaches us. God's Word teaches us that we're to teach the faith to our children. And the second place we look, of course, to where children learn about faith, where they learn about the Bible, where they learn about Jesus, is from the church. But the church can never usurp, the church can never take away the parents' primary responsibility in that. And so the church's job isn't to do that for mom and dad. The church's job is to equip mom and dad, to show them how, right? It's the church's role in that. And so 99% parents, we know, train a child in the way of the Lord. And that's that responsibility belongs to us. And so put simply, you know, that responsibility is yours, mom and dad. And so, and I would say, you know, like I'm a dad, I'm a parent of kids who are well into their 20s, right? And that role, that responsibility isn't over. It continues. The importance of praying for my children every day, encouraging my children in their faith and their walk with the Lord. You know, in their 20s, getting your children to go to church, I don't know why that can be such a struggle sometimes. That's honestly, I invite you to pray for my kids, right? That's where they're at. We're encouraging them to find a church, to be in the church, to walk with the Lord. That responsibility belongs to us first and foremost. But as a church and as your pastor, I want to equip you. I want to help you moms and dads in that. And that's where our partnership with Jason and Seeds Family Worship comes into play. And so Jason, let me invite you up here. We got a microphone that we can maybe just have a conversation as we learn a little bit more about Seeds Family Worship. But first of all, Jason, I know you introduced your name and that you live here in Twin Falls, but could you tell us a little bit about your family and you know, and where you're from and just a little bit about yourself?
Okay, awesome. So yeah, it's really cool. Like I was saying at the beginning, we just love Twin Falls. My wife and I both grew up here. My wife's here, Heidi. And then my son, Brandon, you saw up here, and all of our kids, even though I'm a bald man, they have really cool hair. So praise God, right? And Brandon just, he just got, Brandon and he's with his girlfriend Hannah is also here. Could you guys clap your hands and just welcome them?
It's so good to have you guys with us.
My wife's more behind the scenes, so I like to embarrass her whenever I can. So, but Ron wanted her to get up and sing, so I didn't make her do that.
Maybe we can both embarrass our wives. I don't know if you knew this, but I knew of you in high school because the girl I was dating in high school had a crush on you.
Oh.
And that's who I married.
Thanks for having me.
Like you're all red.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, that just got awkward. So thank you, Pastor Clint, for that. Back to Seeds Family Worship, shall we? And so anyway, but we grew up here in Twin, but I always wanted to be in music, and so I moved to Nashville. I went to college in Nashville, Tennessee. At 18 years old, it felt like I want to do music. There was a place in America called Music City. Okay, mm-hmm. Go there, okay? It's not rocket science. And so I went to Music City, went to college. But I really got into the country music industry for a while, and I had a season in college. I just wasn't walking with the Lord. You know, I was just trying the things of the world and chasing after music. But when God turned my heart around, and I just said, Lord, I don't care if I do music anymore. I just want to follow you. And God did a work in our family, in our marriage, and really took a broken family. And then he opened up Seeds Family Worship, and I was serving at Vacation Bible School, started writing music for our kids for a Vacation Bible School, and that was Seeds. And so now we've done 17 albums. We've done over like 200 songs, you know, of word for word scripture, and so it's so cool, and it's really what God has done, you know. But it's cool that I've got to be on this journey. And the thing that I want to say too, just speaking of family, you know, just like I was so excited when Pastor Clint reached out to me about doing this family month, okay? And some churches are afraid of that because, well, you don't want to alienate people like singles and different things. But I just want to encourage just a couple things as we continue this conversation is God has called us, well, God created families, right? We're all in a family. Mm-hmm. And then as a church, you may think, well, I don't have kids. I don't have kids at home. I'm a younger person. But God's church is a family, right? And so, and family is one of the places, it's one of the greatest gifts of God. It's one of the places we have the greatest experience, the most meaning in our lives. And it's, families are awesome. Can everybody say amen to that? But I also want to say this, because I want to keep it real, okay? Families are also challenging, right? They're some of the places we deal with the hardest things. It's where we get our hearts broken. It's when we have these things happen, and when we have kids, they get to make their own decisions. They have, just like we have free will, our kids have free will. And so we can't make them even follow Jesus. We can point them. But I think to kind of land this, you know, is with, as a church family, because everybody that's here, the next generation, God has called us to point them to Jesus. And so God's given us the task to point the way to Jesus for our kid, for our own children, and then also for the kids that are here, for you guys, what I call a local expression or just the community that you're in, this community of Crossway, he's called all, and as they'd say in the South, all y'all. He's called all y'all to lead these kids to the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
That was a long answer to your question.
I love it. Actually, covered questions 1 and 2. Were
okay,
good. I love it. You know, and so to that end, and you've got this thing that we're just giving to our families. Every quarter, I believe it is, there's this Seeds Family Worship box that you guys put together. We subscribe to that. We're gifting that and just investing in the lives of our families by giving that to every family with children. And I think if it's helpful, we even have a Seeds Family Worship box on that back counter that's open. I don't know if you would want to talk a little bit about Seeds Family Worship
and
box.
If you want to bring that up, and here's the big, this is like I say, but I like to keep things real. Like, you know, I would say, and I don't, thank you so much. I don't want to make a generalization, but I'll say this for myself, but I know, I would say most of us didn't grow up in homes where our parents had what I call spiritual family time, you know, where we read the Bible together, we prayed together outside of meal times. It's like, so most of us don't have a context for that. Like, Pastor Clint, you're talking about just equipping, but it's like, well, how do we do that? And so with our ministry, we saw the need. So we created this. This comes out once a quarter. Like I said, the church has bought these for the families, but these are just different activities. So this box is based around courage, right? And we all need to be strong and courageous. We all need to live courageously. And so it's equipping families to just have what I call spiritual family time. And for our family, we just try to do, like, it's not like we get up, we're in family ministry, it's not like we do devotions every day, or like once a week, we just have a time together, and we don't even hit it once a week, right? But Sunday nights is our family night. We just try to have a consistent time. But so what this box, so you can use this for that time, but this box comes with a card, and so it kind of just tells really quickly each thing that's in here. But for this box, there's a devotion for boys and for girls about God-sized dreams. And so with young kids, one of the things we did with our kids is we would read to them. We would read the early Bible stories just before bedtime. And the Bible talks about that. Discipleship happens as you lie down, when you wake up, as you go down the road. It's like it's as you go. And we all have busy lives. But we just try to do some of these, the reading. And so there's books in here. There's a DVD. So like the worship that we've done here, you can put this DVD on. You can also have, I know DVDs are old school, but a lot of people still use them. But we have the downloads as well. That there's a card where you can put these on your iTunes or TV or whatever. But you can listen to the music at home. You can listen to it in the car. And just talk about God's word as you do life. But there are moments that what I call teachable moments, when you kind of lay some of the foundation with some of these things. And it's really more about just that spiritual time. But then you say, hey, remember that verse that we learned about be strong and courageous, for the Lord God is with us wherever we go. When there's a moment where the child is afraid or up in the middle of the night or sick, and it's like, hey, let's pray right now, because the Bible says God's with us wherever we go, and we need to be courageous right now. Yeah. So it's like gives us this opportunity as a family to tie things to the word. But I just encourage you, if you haven't had any, like I say, spiritual family times, and the reason I call it spiritual family times is because sitting and watching a movie is not a bad thing with your family. Like if you have a movie night Sunday nights, but that's not the kind of family time we're talking about. That's also can be a good time because you want to build that relationships. But the key word is intentional. Like we're going to be intentional about passing our faith down to our kids. Just like whatever skills, we teach our kids a lot of skills. Getting dressed is a great one. Brushing teeth is excellent. But then you kind of build this, but we need to do some of those things spiritually as well and be intentional with like teaching them about who Jesus is and their need for his grace.
Yeah, awesome. So. That's so good. And so, you know, obviously this is an incredible tool. This is how we want to equip you. This is our gift to you, Jason's gift to you. And so we're praying for Jason because as he talked about, we're asking the Lord to inspire him constantly with just new ways, new songs to bring to us, but also to like the nation. And I imagine you're even outside of the United States, right? So,
well, not, you know, it's funny. We really have, I mean, well, our music, like, yeah, there's a lot of countries where they stream our music. Now, uh-huh. That's the crazy thing now that everything's gone to streaming. So, yeah, there's a lot of countries, like we get emails and videos from people all over the place. Yeah, but I never travel outside the U.S., yeah. which is fine with me. Actually, I gotta be honest with you. I love being in Idaho. We're gonna be down in Texas like for a couple of weeks. And so whenever you guys are thinking about how hot it is next week, just add a bunch of humidity to that. And that's what me and Brandon are gonna be doing. So we live in an awesome place.
Yeah. So. Well, we're blessed to have these resources in our homes, but I would like to turn that blessing also back to Jason and Seeds Family Worship, your whole team, as we pray for him this morning. They're about to go on tour, like he mentioned earlier, to bring God's word to lots of churches, lots of families and children. So let me just have a prayer for you.
That's awesome.
Would you pray with me, church? Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful for my friend Jason here and the way that you have directed his life to be used by you to put your word, to put God's word on the hearts of all children and of families, dear Lord. And so continue to, we pray, to work in his life and in his heart and in his family, and that his ministry might continue to grow, because that growth is more families with these boxes in their homes and churches that are singing your word. And for that, Father God, you are in heaven above, and you too are blessed. So we thank you for his gifts that he shared with us today, and we just send him with our blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Man. Put your hands together. Okay,
God. No, go ahead. You're good.
Thank you so much, Jace.
There's one more thing that was on my heart to share.
Oh, please do.
And it's tied in with prayer. So I don't know if there's a new worship song that's out called Talking to Jesus. Has anybody heard that song? We were talking to Jesus. We were talking to Jesus. Okay, well, everyone has a homework assignment today. Okay, it's not hard. Go on YouTube and look up Talking to Jesus and listen to this song, because it really captures what we're talking about. And it starts out with a grandma praying for her grandson. And I can't tell you, the grandparents that are in here, how many testimonies I hear where people, literally a testimony where a girl was going to go commit suicide that night, and her grandma invited her, invited her to church. She was desperate. And her grandma said, just come to church with me. She's like, fine, I'm going to go to church. And so she went to church. She got saved that night. It saved her soul, saved her life, changed her life. Now, and she sings for the Lord. But so many testimonies of grandparents. So the song talks about talking to Jesus, grandma, and then it talks about mom, you know, and then it talks, then the dad's bringing in, the dad's praying, and the son comes in. He's like, oh, sorry, Dad, to interrupt. And he's like, no, I want you to come pray with me. And then finally, it ends up just encouraging everyone that we can all talk to Jesus. We can all have that relationship. But if there's one thing, our kids are all kind of in that adult, you know, range. Our youngest is a senior this year. But the best thing that we have done in parenting, and that I know that's been the game changer, is we've prayed for our kids. I mean, we've messed up so many things as parents, but when our kids were in the crib, we went in and prayed for them. We prayed for them at night. My wife and I pray for them. We pray for their future spouses. And that's the thing. It's what God does. And even if you may be in a desperate situation with one of your kids that's not walking with the Lord, I know some just carry that weight. But prayer changes things. And so I just encourage you, if you're like, you know, I got this box the church gave it to me, I never used it. Don't feel bad about that. Pray for your kids, right? Don't feel bad about what you're not doing. Do what you can do, and just take that, whatever that next step is for you. Because the thing that I have learned, and this is, I'm landing the plane right here, is now that our kids are moving on into their own lives, it's like I have no regrets for every minute that I've spent. And I realize, like for my job, even writing scripture songs in ministry, there's other people that could do my job, but nobody can be Brandon Hauser's dad but me. Nobody can be Abby Hauser's dad but me. Nobody can be our oldest son Ben's mom but Heidi. And so if God's given you kids, you're that person, and God will help you be the parent he wants you to be. If you'll ask him, pray for your kids, he will do miracles. Can everybody say amen to that? All right. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for having me with you guys this morning.
Yes, the kingdom of heaven belongs to the children too. And that's why we're putting so much emphasis on this, because it's something we just need to be reminded of. Jesus loves the little children too, and he would say, let them come to me, let them come to me. And we need to let them come to be a part of our lives, part of our ministry, that we invest ourselves in our children. But it's more than that, right? Jesus tells us as adults that if we too want to be a part of the kingdom of God, then we need to have faith like a child. And that's perhaps maybe the more difficult thing to not necessarily comprehend, but actually you know, do to because it's this letting go, if you realize and sort of begin to unpack this with me. You know, clearly Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God belongs to children, and yet we seem to complicate things. We seem to think that no, faith is all this cognition and volition, it's all this knowledge, it's all this theology, it's all this doctrine, and you know, we have classes that we have to go to in order to be a member of a church sometimes, and there's just so much that gets so complicated at times, and we begin to think, well, maybe faith is something that's achieved. It's something that's reached. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not that at all. If you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, then you need to have faith like a child. And that doesn't mean there aren't classes to go to, and we shouldn't keep on growing and learning and being in the Word and going to Bible study, because you know, that's like teaching children how to brush their teeth, how to put on their clothes. We have to keep growing in maturity, but the process along the way is not where our salvation is gained. We, as a people with a childlike faith, have already received the kingdom of heaven. And so that's lesson two. Jesus is saying that we are saved by grace through a childlike faith. It's a childlike faith. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That term such as these doesn't mean just these. It means these, but it means the nature, the qualities, the characteristics that make children children. And so what are those things that, you know, as we dig into that, right? It's funny, you know, when we were young, we all wanted to grow up, you know? And when I was young, you know, I remember when old was, you know, when I was finally tall enough to go on the big rides at the fair, and oh, how, you know, when you can't quite reach 48 inches or whatever that bar is, oh, I just want to be old, right? You want to be older. And I remember when old was, you know, when I got to drive the tractor on the farm, and you look forward to those things as a child. We're always seeming to press ahead and wanting to look forward. I remember when old was when I got to play with the big kids at recess, right? And try to hit their fastballs. I remember when old was when I got to drive my car to high school. Not only was I old, but then I was cool, right? You remember those days. And it just seems like when we're young, we're always trying to be older, but Jesus is telling us, no, don't keep trying to be older. Keep trying to become more and more like a child. I remember when old was 20. And I remember when it was 40. Now I just say things like it's a state of mind. But you know what? We're also obsessed with growing up. And this is one of your things as parents that you can just so lovingly and with fun, with joy, remind your kids and let them know there's no hurry. You know, there's no hurry to grow up. Enjoy being a kid and enjoy that senior year of high school or wherever you're at. Enjoy the moment that you're in. Don't keep being obsessed with what's around the corner and growing up, because it's not what Jesus is telling us to do. Jesus doesn't say if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, you got to grow up, right? No, he says if anything, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, you have to grow small. To grow, to become like a child, to have a childlike faith. And so the nature of this childlike faith, perhaps the first thing is this, is that a childlike faith is a simple faith. It's a simple faith. Right? We overcomplicate things. I already mentioned that a little bit. But a child is not saved because he or she cognitively knows the theological explanation of faith. Right? You go to seminary and you learn all these big Latin terms and words, but that doesn't save you, right? Our great reformers, they tried to help us understand things with all their fancy terms. And when they look at faith and they talk about how is faith acquired, they say that faith is notitia and assensus and fiducia, right? And you're going, huh? Maybe I'm not saved. I don't even know what you're talking about, Pastor Clint. Well, don't worry about it. You know, this is part of what we do sometimes as an adult. We overcomplicate things. And so, yes, faith is about knowledge. It's content. It's the object of faith is Jesus. That's noticia. And then there's a census. It's that conviction that Jesus is Lord. And then there's trust. There's that personal relationship. And so the Reformers got it right, but you know what? You don't have to be able to dissect it and diagram it in order to have it. That's what I'm saying. Even a child can have it. And so as we grow in faith, as we grow in the Lord, yes, we can know more, but we have to make sure that with that extra knowledge that we don't get puffed up, right? We don't get puffed up. That we keep things simple. A childlike faith is a simple faith. Do a Bible study of your own and look at John chapter 3. It's a wonderful conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus about faith and how is one saved? How is one born again? And where does faith come from? And the answer that Jesus gives to Nicodemus, right, who's a religious leader, is he says, you wouldn't understand it if I told you, right? Basically what he says is the wind comes and goes, and where it comes from or where it goes, nobody knows. It's a mystery. Now, we might understand weather patterns a little bit better in today than in Jesus' day, but Jesus' point was this. It's a mystery. God is at work behind it. Don't overcomplicate it. Just put your trust in me. To have a childlike faith is to have a simple faith. And that's where this childlike faith applies. A child doesn't need to know how something works for that thing to be true in their life. They just trust it to be true. A child simply trusts and holds on. A little girl is not saved because she comprehends the communication of attributes between Jesus' deity and his humanity, right? I mean, really? Do we? I don't. I mean, I've read the books and I scratch my head and that's not where my salvation is. My salvation is in the object of Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of my faith. A little boy is not saved because he can speak in tongues of men or angels or has prophetic powers or can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, right? That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. You can have those things, but that's not faith, right? And without love, you're just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Faith, a childlike faith, is a simple faith, and how we love to overcomplicate things as we grow up. Jesus is saying, don't overcomplicate this. Be like a child. Trust in me, even if you don't understand it all. And that's a challenge for us as adults. It's a challenge that we have in this empirical and scientific age where we think, honest scientists don't tell you they have it all figured out. But a lot of people, you know, before they really get to that level of reason and understanding and quantum physics and all that, there's a lot of people who think we have it all figured out. We don't, folks. We don't. So much of life and the universe is a mystery. And that's the simplicity of it, to embrace the mystery, to embrace Jesus and to put our trust in him. Another Barna study talks about, you know, spiritual development and it talks about just, you know, how it's so important not to overcomplicate things, but to just keep giving our children the Word of God. Keep speaking truth into their lives. Keep speaking God's Word into their lives as they grow. I think we make a mistake of somehow hoping someday that our children, when they're adults, they'll make this decision on their own to follow Jesus. My friends, it's like Jason was talking about. It's as you go, you are teaching the faith, and faith is growing in their hearts as we grow and as we're raising them up. Barna's studies speaks particularly to that. He says, people who become Christian before their teen years are more likely than those who are converted when older to remain absolutely committed to Christ. What you're going to hear is a number of things that talk about how faith formation begins even when we're young. And so, you know, so what if you came to Christ later in life or as an adult? It doesn't mean something is wrong with your faith. That's not what I'm implying. What I want you to hear is how faith formation begins at such a young age. God is at work creating faith in the hearts of children. And so another thing that Barna has discovered just from his studies, that those who accepted Christ as Savior during their adult years are less likely to have a biblical view of God, especially on matters like creation, homosexuality, abortion, all the hot flags, right? We wrestle with those with our logical sides of the minds rather than with what God's Word says. And that adult who's come to faith has trouble reconciling God's Word with this world in which we live in, because they haven't grown up, they haven't been raised with this worldview, with this biblical worldview that God's Word is truth. Barna also discovers that a person's moral foundations are primarily shaped by the time they reach, listen to this, age 9. The moral foundation of your children has been established in your home by the time they reach the age of 9. That is significant. That is why we're speaking God's word. That is why we're teaching them, you know, what it means to follow Jesus. And we're bringing them to church and we're teaching them what it means to walk in the way of the Lord. Because so much is accomplished by age 9. Most people, Barna discovered, make a lasting determination about the personal significance of Christ's death and resurrection by the age of 12. The age of 12. That's right. Even a 12-year-old can understand that Jesus Christ was born, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and was raised to life again on Easter Sunday. By age 12, a child can have the faith to believe in the resurrection, to believe that Jesus is their risen Lord. And that's why we teach our children in the faith. Here's a final one that I would share with you. Most people's spiritual beliefs are irrevocably formed when they are preteens. In essence, the researcher noted that what you believe by the time you are 13 is, in general, no absolutes here, but that's what you're going to die believing. And so the point is that we need to teach our children about Jesus while they are children. And we need to keep it simple. We need to teach them about Jesus, Jesus, and only Jesus, right? Jesus is what makes the gospel simple. It so is. You know, simple faith is Jesus alone faith. It's grace alone faith, right? It's not about works, right? What makes faith complicated is when, you know, we see heresy and corrupted and converted teachings talk about the blending of how we have to contribute a little bit of work, a little bit of effort on our part in order to be saved. But my friends, that's not grace. That's not a gift given freely. That's something that's achieved and earned. But remember, a child comes with empty hands. A child comes with nothing. Which brings me to the second point that I would make, the nature of childlike faith. A childlike faith is a humble faith. Oh, it's a humble faith. I mean, let's face it, on our own, the kingdom of heaven is out of reach. As Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you don't understand that, what the scriptures are teaching right there is that we cannot. There's no ladder to climb. There's no steps to run up. There's nothing we can do to achieve salvation on our own. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so the problem is, as adults, when something's out of reach, well, we puff ourselves up. We get prideful. We say, we can do that. You know, Mount Everest is in the way. I'm going to do that. I'm going to train for that. And sure enough, we've accomplished great things as human beings when obstacles seem to be in the way. But my friends, hear this. By human effort, heaven is out of reach. And a child knows that. A child knows that in every single way. All a child can do is stand, you know, 3 feet tall in the kitchen at the cupboard and lift their hands up to be lifted up. Because they can't reach. They can't reach the cookie jar. They can't reach the top cupboard. They can't get there on their own. But what a child can do is be lifted up. To be lifted up. That's saving faith. A heart that puts its trust in Jesus, knowing it has nothing to offer. No achievements, no prominence in society, no wealth, nothing. Hands are empty. Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. That's what faith is. And so a child does that. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus says in James chapter 4:10 that we shouldn't be prideful. We shouldn't think that in some way that we can contribute anything to our salvation. Jesus says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up, right? But the posture is a posture of humility, a posture that a child understands so well. I mean, have you ever just thought what life would be like at a child's level, where everything is out of reach, where everything you do, you have to ask help to be done, where even your ability to survive on a daily basis depends on somebody else. That's what Jesus is saying is the beautiful thing about a humble faith, a faith that you and I need to have to be like a child. And so this passage shows once again, you know, that we read earlier, Jason read earlier, that the disciples, they still don't quite understand these things, the nature of the kingdom of heaven, because again, that's what we do as adults. We overcomplicate things. And so the disciples, they would turn these children away, right? Because they come empty-handed. They come with nothing. They come as a distraction to everybody when Jesus, certainly, he's got important things to talk about to the adults. But Jesus says, no. Don't turn them away. Jesus would make the point that this is the nature of how we, even the adults, must enter the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is to be received. It is not to be achieved. The kingdom comes to such as these. Jesus sets this all up with a parable, right? Parables, these earthly stories with a heavenly meaning so that we can understand what Jesus is talking about us here. And Jesus tells this parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector. He sets a prideful heart up against a humble heart, right? To some who were confident, right? That's what Jesus is saying that we need to let go of. Let go of that self-confidence. That somehow I've done anything to add to my salvation. Put complete dependence in Jesus Christ. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told them this parable, right? And before I go on, that's the other thing we do as adults on those who are dependent upon anybody in society who would need help. We think of that person as weak. We think of that person as useless and helpless and worthless. And Jesus says, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, then you need to reverse your thinking. Because I'm turning things around, and whoever wants to be greatest in the kingdom of God needs to be the servant of all, to be the least, to be humble, to have a humble attitude, not this prideful, arrogant attitude like this Pharisee, right? Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Then he lists his accomplishments. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get, right? For this Pharisee, his salvation was based upon his own merit. His own work. Sure, he was thankful to know of God, but that faith wasn't a humble faith. It certainly wasn't a simple faith. It was the synergism of works and God. And he is putting all of his trust in himself. But Jesus compares that attitude to the tax collector. A tax collector, right? The worst of society. That's Jesus' point. These extremes from one another. The tax collector who stood at a distance, he wouldn't even look up to heaven because of he knew his position before the Lord, right? That we are all sinners, that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. This tax collector understood that. He beat his breast, right? That's a attitude, and that's even a physical way of demonstrating repentance, contrition, sorrow for our sinfulness. Trust in God. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector, his hands up to heaven, his head down. That's saving faith. Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So not only is there something here today to teach our children, right, that the kingdom of heaven belongs to them too, for them to encourage them in their walk with Jesus, but there's something here for each and every one of us, that when we see our children, When we see the nature of how dependent they are, let that be a reminder to us every day of how much we need Jesus, of how dependent upon we are on Jesus. He is the object of our salvation. He is the one whom we are dependent upon. And so we keep it simple. We keep it simple, and we keep our hearts humble. Let us pray. Let me invite the worship team forward too as we just begin our time of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we're glad, of course, to encourage our children. And right now, bless Danelle, bless Chloe. Put your word on their lips. To teach our children about you. Help them to keep it simple. Help them to encourage that walk with you in a childlike manner so that our children would know you and walk with you all the days of their life. But we also pray today, Jesus, that we truly would take something away, because as adults, we overcomplicate things and we get arrogant, we get prideful, and we think we can do this ourselves. How we resent the help of others. Give us a childlike faith. Teach us to be dependent. Teach us to look to you for what you can do for us, because we can do nothing. Give us a childlike faith, we pray. Amen. Amen.